The hymn is 147, Away in a Manger. 147, Away in a Manger.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, but little Lord Jesus no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my cradle till morning is nigh. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and feed us for heaven to live with thee there.
Amen. Psalm 63, verse 6 to 8 says, when I remember thee upon my bed, and meditate upon on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help. That's the word to know. Thou hast been my help. He has an experiential knowledge of who God is. And therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. You see that connection there? When you have the Lord with us, and we know how he's able to take care of us, because thou hast been my help. That's the experience of the children of God, that God has been our help. That knowledge, know therefore, dear brethren, that he is God, the faithful God, who keepeth covenant and mercy to 1,000 generations. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. And what else did he say? My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. He understood. God will take care of him. But he must follow him. That sacred responsibility to be a faithful follower of the Lord. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obey the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Another exhortation to faithfulness. To fear the Lord, obey. Even in the midst of darkness, where there's no light, let him be that light. Let him trust in the Lord. And you remember he says what? Stay upon him. And stay upon his God. Follow hard after him. You see, there is a response. Paul says, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded. So did Moses. Know therefore, the Lord thy God,
the faithful God who keepeth covenant and mercy to 1,000 generations.
Habakkuk 3, verse 17 to 18.
Our trials, God can allow us to become more and more.
Right? Today you see the world is heading toward a man-created calamity. On the one hand, you have the plan to take down all fossil fuels, reduce investments, reduce diesel, reduce petrol. But you see, the whole world is built upon that foundation. And when you take away that foundation, what happens? Prices shoot up. We said inflation. And on the other hand, what happens? Well, men began to lawlessly said, well, never mind. You have not enough to spend. I give you, I print and I give you universal income. This is the world that it is. And what will it lead to with this inordinate printing? Well, we remember those times in Germany, the Weimar Republic, when suddenly prices go up so high, you could hardly buy anything with what you have. What happens in that situation? Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herds in the stalls. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. You see here that if God were to allow us to go through a time of famine, inadvertent, unless there is a change in direction to what the world is going into now, green energy, climate change. There's no climate change. That's a hoax. And green energy, unsustainable. You need lots of investments to do so. But the backbone of it is still fossil fuel. Untendable. Well, that's the wisdom of the wicked one, to take down the world. Jesus said unto Peter, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. There are sometimes some things that happen in our lives which we cannot explain. Just as it happened to Job. Would you have the faith to trust him? Even in the time of famine? And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. There are seasons in life when it is not easy to believe that He is God. Our faith will be sorely tried. And in your handout, in your notes, you would see A.W. Pink writing, "Our eyes are dimmed with tears. We can no longer trace the outworkings of His love. Our ears are distracted with the noises of the world." Well, what we are seeing today is just a brief description for us. "Harassed by whisperings of Satan, we can no longer hear the sweet accents of the still, small voice. Cherished plans have been thwarted. The world failed us. We are staggered. We sought to be faithful to God, but now a dark cloud hides from us. We find it difficult to harmonize the frowning providence with a gracious God." There's a little boy flying a kite high in the sky. And when it drifted into a cloud bank, the kite disappeared from view. And a passerby asked the little boy what he was doing. He said, "I'm flying a kite." He was holding on to, he's holding on to an invisible string. "What are you doing? What are you doing? Where's your kite?" The man looked up, seeing only the cloud bank, said, "I don't see any kite. How do you know it's still there?" "I don't see it either," replied the boy, "but I know it's up there because every once in a while, there's a tuck on my string." Once in a while, there's a tuck. Many Christians feel God has disappeared just when they need Him most. Take heart, child of God. Just because you can't see Him doesn't mean He's not there. Keep holding on to the Lord. So the psalmist says, follow hard. Follow hard. He is faithful even when you cannot feel His presence. Hang on, and sooner or later, you will feel the tug on the line that lets you know that He is there. But it is one thing to accept the faithfulness of God as a divine truth, and it is another thing to act upon it, isn't it? You recall the generation that came out of Egypt in Exodus did not enter the promised land because of their unbelief, except Joshua and Caleb. Why? Because they did not act upon it. To do so, we must be persuaded like the Apostle Paul did, convicted, convinced, confirmed in the heart. That brings one to act upon that conviction, isn't it? Otherwise, we'll be just sitting on the premises and not standing on the promises. That our soul may follow hard. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant. This is the other word that we want to think about. Covenant. The word means promise. This word covenant is first used in Genesis 6 verse 18. "But with thee will I establish my covenant, that thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. I will establish my covenant." Literally means I will cause to stand. I will confirm confirm
So by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness,
which is by faith.
Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wife with him into the ark, because of the waters of the flood.
There was no flood before that.
And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth in the 600th year of Noah's life. In the second month, in the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. It was a torrential rain that came that day.
And when Abraham was 99 years old, 99 years, he came to the promised land at the age of 75. And God promised him that he will have a son. But after 24 years, still nothing. The wife's womb is closed up. And he's there, shifting from 10 to 10. Shifting from 10 to 10. How to live like that? And what did God say to him earlier? I will make a covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. I'll make a covenant and will multiply thee. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered. So when God told them that this will happen, they believed. And Sarah conceived and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. She judged him faithful. Therefore sprang there even one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky, in multitude as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers which he sware unto them, the covenant that he made with his people. Because God is faithful, he keeps every promise he makes. What is the underpinning? What is the underpinning for us to believe that God is faithful? That God will be faithful? Well, I submit to you that we have to take hold of who he is, to know who he is, that he is God. He's always there for you. He's the living one. Doesn't perish. You can commit your children and your children's children to him for his care, and you know that he will be there for them when you cannot be there anymore. He's the eternal one. He's always there, inside and outside of time. He's the unchangeable one. When he utters his word, he doesn't change in his word. He's the, 3 words there.
He's the all-present one. He's present with you wherever you are, in those dark times, in those dark nights, through those dark days. Do you know that He's there with you? He's the omnipresent one. And He's the omniscient one. He's all-knowing. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows your strength. He knows your weakness. He knows your needs. What a great God we serve. We need to know the underpinnings of His faithfulness, isn't it? Who He is. And He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He's all-powerful. All power is in Him. You cannot doubt that. Should we doubt that? Complete in Himself. He's perfect. Perfect. There's no blemish in Him. He's limitless. He's infinite. Ah. Can He not help? Well, it's told to us that the very hairs of our head are numbered. The Lord knows how many hair you have. You know how many hair you have? No. We all don't know how many hair we have, right? Whether it's falling, whether it's still there, it's hard to count. But He tells us that He knows. You see how meticulous He is? Incomprehensible. Not only is He great, but He's a good God, the moral attribute of God. And in Himself, God is holy, God is true, and God is love. And in relation to us, to others, God is righteous. God is faithful. God is merciful. The outworking of His holiness in His righteousness. That He is a just God. That justice is in Him, infinite, eternal, unchangeable in His justice. Because of His holiness. And He's true. True to what He says. He made a covenant with Abraham. And He will follow through it. And He's merciful. Outworking of His love. The Lord sought for us to see. So in Himself, God is holy and He seeks our sanctification. And you realize that God seeks for us to be holy more than to meet all our wants and all our needs in that sense, all our desires. He seeks for our sanctification. But He is true to who He is. To keep us. And He is merciful, even when we were unfaithful. You know, God asked the prophet Hosea to marry his wife who will be unfaithful. And God said to him that he is not to leave his wife
even though she is unfaithful.
Why did God command Hosea to do that?
Because God wanted to give the picture to Israel that He is the faithful God who will not forsake them.
He will be faithful to His covenant.
God's righteousness is rooted in His holiness. The English word just, justice, right, righteous, righteousness. That He's upright. So you read the Bible, you will be able to see all these words that are used concerning who He is. That He's a holy God. And when He created you in Christ, He seeks that you be holy. And that's the word tzedek in the Hebrew. That means straight. Straight. And there's another word that is there in the Bible that we get the word iniquity. Iniquity, that's crooked. Crooked. A bending. There are three words for sin in the Bible. Sin itself, a missing of the mark. Transgression, a rebellion against God. And thirdly, iniquity. A bending. Crookedness. But you see, God is holy for who He is. God is merciful. And there are many words that are used in this expression of who He is, that He is merciful. And you will see it used to describe how He interacts in relation to us. His tenderness, His kindness, His loving kindness, His pity, His compassion, His graciousness, His long suffering. Love describes God's character, what God is. And mercy describes God's action, what He does. And we see manifestation of God's love, that's His holy character, in caring for all His creatures, in helping His people even when they do not deserve it. And in our salvation through Christ.
When we say God is faithful, we mean He is dependable. He's trustworthy. That He's reliable. That He's steadfast. He's stable. There is certainty and firmness and stability in Him. We can depend on Him. We can trust Him. He can be relied upon. He's steadfast. He's true to His word. He keeps His word. He keeps His promise to us. The root word that undergirds the word faithfulness is in the Hebrew aman, aman, and it comes from the verb that means to trust, to believe. And the derivative of this word, aman, is amen, we know. It's emet, true. And emunah, faithfulness. He is the faithful and true witness. That's the description of our Lord Jesus Christ to the seven churches. The Amen, the faithful and true witness.
Aman represents both truthfulness and faithfulness.
To say God is true is the same to say that God is faithful. God's faithfulness means that because He is true, everything He says and does is certain.
So He's 100% reliable, and reliable 100% of the time. Can we understand that? Sometimes in the time of our distress, when God puts us through trials, this underpinning truth can become vague in our hearts. When we feel as if God is not there. But is God there? He's there. You remember the little boy flying the kite? When the kite disappeared into the clouds and he didn't see it, then how? Is he not there because he didn't see it? No, he did not leave the string. He continued to hold on.
Know therefore the Lord thy God. He is God, the faithful God which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that loved Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations.
Know, therefore, that knowledge of Him, the reflection of who He is, and that understanding that God gives to us of who He is, to enable us to obey Him, follow Him, because He keepeth covenant. He's true to His promises. There are some promises that God gives to us that is absolute, but there are some promises that God gives to us that is conditional upon our obedience. And we need to see. But His care for us, when we committed our lives to Him, when we believe in what the Lord gives us in His Word, that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That He's faithful and He's just to forgive our sins.
Sometimes we ask ourselves this question, do I really believe? And there are believers who, after believing for many, many decades, because life, God brings many challenges to them, they began to ask the question. They began to doubt the faithfulness of God. But here the Word of God tells us, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Are we clear about that? So Moses says, know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy, what we do not deserve. God did not forsake Hosea's wife, but commanded Hosea to keep. As a description for us to see the faithfulness of God. thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. That's why the little boy is able to know by the tugging. So as we take time to dwell with God, we take time to spend with Him in our personal devotion. Right? How's your personal devotion? How do you know that God is faithful? Well, we have to be reminded again, isn't it? And when we open our Bibles, the Bible will remind us each time we read of an account, we will be reminded again how we are so forgetful, how we need to be reminded. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, it abideth. Right? So, not climate change. No. Let us not be hoaxed. Nevertheless, thy loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My love for you, right? The loving kindness is another word for God's love, the character of God's love, and the outworking of it. Remember, we said many words describing God's love toward us, in relation to us. Loving kindness is one of those words. I will not suffer my faithfulness to fail. So we have the famous Psalm 121, where the psalmist would call upon God. He says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. My help cometh from the Lord. The word from there is very interesting. It consists of two prepositions. It means a preposition and a verb that He is with us and He's alongside us. That's the presence of God with us. When we receive the Lord Jesus Christ into our hearts, the Spirit of God dwells with us. Our body becomes the temple of the Holy Ghost. God dwells with us. My help cometh from the Lord. So sometimes in our distress, we look very far. Look very far. Look to the hills. I said, oh, look up. Look at the skies. But we forgot that God is with us, isn't it? He's with us, which made heaven and earth. Is there any God that we can claim in this world that made heaven and the earth? None other, isn't it? None other claimed that He has made heaven and earth. That's the greatest. The Creator, the one who creates all things, you see. So He says to you, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. He will not sleep. He's always alert in His watch. He will not be unfaithful. Even though He say He's faithful, we say. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The faithfulness of God. Do you believe in it? What He says. If you believe it, then you can go to the airport and beat someone off. You may not see that person for some time. but you can commit to the Lord the care of such a one. Because you know that you cannot, but there is a God who is able. He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. That's the same word that is used there. To watch. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The storms of life, the seasons of foul weather that comes to us. The Lord shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. How do you believe that? From all evil, from the attack of the evil one, in every way, all evil, he will preserve thee. That's the meaning of the word keep. He will watch over you. He will guard you. Do you believe that he is able? That he is the faithful God? The Lord preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and from thy coming in, from this time forth and even forevermore. He not only preserves you in your sojourn here physically, but he's going to preserve you for eternity. In other words, are you clear, sure in your heart that Jesus rose again from the dead? That because he rose from the dead, therefore, you will not die the eternal death. Do you believe that? If he is a faithful God and he did rise from the dead, then you can commit your soul to him, isn't it? The soul of your loved ones. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. How to preserve and take care of someone forevermore? Oh, that's powerful, right? It takes all power. It takes all knowledge. It takes an unchanging God. It takes an all-powerful God. An all-present God, ever-present God. Not only he preserved thee from all evil, but he preserved thy soul. The very being of you he preserved beyond this physical existence. So we say the greatness of God, he's self-existent, he's eternal, he's unchangeable, he's omnipresent, he's omniscient, omnipotent, he's perfect, he's infinite, comprehensible. He not only advances and confirms that which is true, but in faithfulness abides by his promises and executes every threat and warning that he made. So in Deuteronomy chapter 7, he tells us, "Know ye therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that loved him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. And repay them that hate him to their face, to destroy them," verse 10 says, "he will not be slack to him that hateth him, he will repay him to his face." Look at what happened to the Israelites who perished in the wilderness. They perished in the wilderness in those 40 years. They all died. And he says to us, "Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day,
to do them. To do them.
Why do we believe that God is faithful? That He will be faithful every single time? What is our proof? The attributes of God that is necessary. We have named others for Him to be faithful. That He must be omniscient. He must know all things. He knows the past. He knows the future. He knows what's going on in our lives. For Him to be faithful toward us, isn't it? That's why He says, even your hair, the hair upon your head, is counted. He must be omnipotent. He cannot be faithful to help us in all circumstances of life if He's not all powerful. If there are some situations that can confound Him, that then He's not faithful to what He promised. He has not the power to carry through His word. Does He have the power to carry through His word? He's all powerful. If He's all powerful, then He can carry through His word, isn't it? He must be omnipresent. All present. Always within reach. Always within His reach. Wherever you are. That's why Jonah in the whale's belly realized that he cannot run away. And no way he can run. Right? So the whale vomited him at the shores of Nineveh. And he began to walk the length of the city. And said, 40 days, judgment will come. 40 days, judgment will come. And what happened? From the king to the people to the animals, they all repent in sackcloth and ashes. So there was a time of reprieve in Israel. Because the Assyrians were very cruel people. If they had their way, that's why Jonah don't want to do the necessary thing. Right. And you know, the best way to help someone is to preach the gospel to them. To give them the word. When they have God with them, God will take care of them. There's no situation where He's not present and ready and able to do whatever the need arises in our lives. Can we affirm in our heart so that when the challenge comes, we can take hold of the truth? No, that's the word there. And be persuaded. That's what we are saying here. That's why Paul is willing to suffer in prison. He didn't run away from prison. He willingly suffered. How is God faithful? He knows everything. He has the power to change anything He desires to change. Is always present. And for Him to do what He does, He must be truthful.
If he's not truthful, then we cannot trust him, isn't it?
We live in a world of broken treaties, broken covenants, broken promises, broken vows. So hard, so hard, break it. So hard, break it. In hope of eternal life, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. So when you commit your life to the Lord, he tells you that he will give you eternal life, that you believe, that you have confessed your sins before him. Do you believe that he's faithful and just to forgive you your sins? Sometimes we have to ask and ask again. Do you believe that? That he's faithful? Sometimes we don't believe. And we have to be asked again, isn't it? Do you believe that he's faithful and just to forgive you your sins when you confess them? In hope of eternal life, that God cannot lie, promised before the world began. Cannot lie. That's the stability that we have, isn't it? If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. 2 Timothy 2 verse 13. He cannot deny himself. Even if we believe not, he abideth faithful. That's a towering strength, isn't it? In a family. Someone who is faithful to God. To a faithful God. How that family will be stable. Next. Wherefore, let them suffer according to the will of God. Commit the keeping of the souls to him in well-doing as a faithful creator. Let them that suffer, that's what Paul is doing in prison, commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing. Do not become bitter. Not become resentful. Because we have a God who is faithful. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Malachi 3 verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Remember, we say that it is his will for us to be holy, not to be happy, in the sense that he allows afflictions to come to our lives. He sanctifies us by the trials that comes to us. And yet we can rejoice in him if we know that he hears us whatsoever we ask. We know, you see the word know there that is used, that we have the petitions that we desire of him. In other words, our prayers will be answered. If you understand what the will of God is, and you know that he is faithful to carry you through. So Jesus says, ask and it shall be
given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? Will God give you, will God harm you, in other words? No, he will not harm you. He loves you. That's his character. He doesn't change. But he's a holy God. That's the word straight, righteousness. There's no bending. Right? If we go our own way, we sin against him. We choose the pleasures of this life, the pursuits of this life. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your own your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?
We close with the hymn 87. I know whom I have believed.
I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeem me for his own. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how this saving faith to me he did impart, nor how believing in his word wrought peace within my heart. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the word, creating faith in him. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not what of good or ill may be reserved for me, of weary ways and golden days
before his face I see. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not when my Lord may come, at night or noonday fair, nor if I walk the veil with him or meet him in the air. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for gathering us and giving to us thy holy word, even to teach us that thou art a faithful God. Help us to know thee and to be persuaded of thee and to commit our lives, surrender it once again to thy loving care. Strengthen thy people. This I pray with thanksgiving. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.